Welcome to the deep dive. You know, ever feel like your brain is just overflowing with information?
Oh, definitely. All the time.
But you can't quite see how it all connects.
Yeah, finding those links, making sense of it all, it can be tough.
Well, today we're exploring a really fascinating solution for that: concept maps.
Ah, yes. Concept
Think
maps.
of them as sort of visual shortcuts, maybe,
Ah,
to understanding.
exactly. A way to turn that jumble of facts into a clearer, interconnected picture.
Right. We've plunged into a whole stack of research for this deep
We
dive.
really have stuff from, elementary classrooms right up to really complex applications.
System design. Even saw something about support for dyslexia.
Yeah, surprisingly broad. So our goal really is to give you a clear understanding of how this visual approach can unlock, deeper learning.
Which is perfect for you, our listener, right? If you want to get a solid grasp on new ideas, but maybe without getting bogged down in endless text.
And you appreciate those aha moments.
Yes, when everything just clicks.
Yeah.
And we think concept mapping is potentially a key to creating more of those.
Agreed.
So let's dive right in. What exactly is a concept map?
Fundamentally.
Okay. So imagine taking all the key ideas, the main concepts
Yeah.
related to a topic.
Right.
You write them down. In a concept map, these become your nodes, often in circles or boxes,
Little bubbles of ideas.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Then you draw lines between these concept bubbles.
Okay.
But here's the really crucial part. You add linking words to those lines.
Ah, okay. Not just lines.
No, the words explain the relationship. So if you have rain and flooding, the line connecting them might say causes or can lead to.
Got it. So it's not just a pretty diagram. The connections themselves have specific meaning.
Precisely. That's key. And another core element is usually a hierarchical structure.
Meaning.
Typically, you'll see the most general sort of overarching concepts near the top.
A big idea. Yeah. And then they branch down into more specific supporting details or sub-concepts further down. It's kind of like an outline, but visual and interconnected.
Right. More spatial.
And look, you can absolutely sketch these out on paper, a whiteboard, whatever.
Sure. Back of a napkin works.
Totally. But there are also some really fantastic digital tools now. CMap tools is a popular one.
To me, it feels okay.
Yeah, and software like that lets you create more complex maps, share them, even work on them together with others.
Collaboration.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so we have the basics down: nodes, links with words, hierarchy. But why bother? What are the real advantages here? Why use these maps?
Great question. Well, one of the biggest benefits, I think, ties into this fundamental idea about how we learn best.
Okay.
We really learn effectively when we can connect new information to stuff we already know.
Hmm.
There's a well-known theory by Ossebel on meaningful learning.
Meaningful learning, right?
Yeah.
Heard of it.
It really emphasizes this. And concept maps, they essentially force you to build those bridges between the new ideas and your existing knowledge. You have to make them explicit.
Ah, okay. So you're not just passively reading or listening. You're actively fitting the new piece into your mental jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. You're making those mental connections visible, concrete. And beyond just making connections, they're incredibly powerful for simply organizing information.
Organizing, right? How so?
Well, they help you structure complex topics logically. You might organize by cause and effect, maybe steps in a process,
By theme, or different types of things.
Exactly, different categories within a subject, all sorts of ways. And this structure, this organization, it can make even really dense, complicated material much more accessible.
Easier to sort of get your head around.
Yeah, much easier to digest. Think of it like creating a mental roadmap for the topic.
So instead of just like memorizing a list of street names,
Right.
you actually see the city map, how everything fits together.
Yeah, precisely. And because you're actively thinking about how things are related, labeling those links, is this a cause, a type, a part of something
You
else?
have to analyze the connection itself.
You do. And that leads to a much richer, deeper, and probably more accurate understanding than just, say, rote memorization.
Makes sense.
And interestingly, some research into these, what they call ICT tools for visualizing thinking.
Fancy term for digital mapping tools.
Basically, yeah. That research suggests using tools like concept maps can actually improve your ability to apply what you've learned in new
Oh,
situations.
really? Because you understand the underlying structure.
That seems to be the idea. You're more flexible because you see the connections, not just isolated facts.
That's fascinating. So, has this been tested? Is there solid research showing concept maps actually lead to you know, better learning outcomes, better grades, better understanding.
Yes, quite a bit, actually. Various studies have shown that concept mapping can significantly improve things like reading comprehension and just overall understanding of complex texts or materials. They're also really effective for synthesis.
Synthesis, meaning
taking a lot of different pieces of information and pulling them together into a coherent whole. Like writing a summary, but, you know, visual.
Right. Seeing the big picture you've assembled.
Exactly. And when it comes to remembering stuff, knowledge retention, the findings are sometimes a bit mixed. Some studies show stronger effects than others.
Okay. Not always a slam dunk for memory then.
Not always dramatically better, but there's certainly evidence suggesting that the act of creating the map, that active processing, can definitely help things stick.
It sounds like it's maybe less about the finished map itself and more about the process, the thinking it makes you do.
I think that's a huge part of it, yes. Concept mapping can be a really powerful tool for developing metacognitive skills.
Metacognition, thinking about your thinking.
Exactly. Your awareness of your own understanding. When you try to draw your knowledge visually, you become much more aware of what you do understand clearly.
And crucially, what you don't.
Right, where the gaps are, or maybe where you have misconceptions, where things aren't connecting correctly in your head. It's like holding a mirror up to your own understanding.
I like that analogy. Okay, so we know they're good for individual learning, for boosting understanding, maybe retention, metacognition. How are they actually being used, you know, in schools, universities?
Oh, the applications are remarkably broad. We're seeing concept maps used effectively across, well, pretty much the whole curriculum.
Like what?
You've got humanities, social sciences, obviously, but also hard sciences like chemistry, math, like calculus, even really technical fields.
Technical.
Yeah, things like system design, understanding complex machinery, planning optical networks, really diverse stuff.
Wow, okay, that covers a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Is it just for older students, though? Like university level?
Not at all. That's one of the really interesting things. They've been used successfully with learners of basically all ages.
All ages, really?
Yeah, we've seen examples with kindergarten children using simple maps to connect ideas in a story all the way through elementary, high school, and yes, university students tackling very complex subjects. It's adaptable.
That's genuinely surprising. I sort of pictured them as more of an advanced tool.
Yeah.
So how do they stack up against, you know, the usual methods? Lectures, reading, maybe answering questions?
That's a key question, right? Researchers have definitely looked into that. And when they compare concept mapping with, say, having students just answer questionnaires after learning something,
yeah,
they often find that the groups who used concept maps, well, they achieve scores that are at least equal to and sometimes significantly better than the traditional methods group.
Okay, so test scores can improve.
They can, but maybe more importantly, teachers often report something else. They feel the understanding shown by students using concept maps seems, well, deeper, more integrated.
Ah, so it's not just about spitting back facts correctly.
Exactly. It's about demonstrating that they see the connections, the relationships between the facts, the why and how, not just the what.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. It's a different kind of knowledge demonstration.
Definitely. And it's not just a solo activity either. Concept mapping can be incredibly valuable for collaborative learning.
Working in groups, you mean?
Yeah. When students have to work together to build a map, it really sparks discussion. They have to, you know, negotiate the meaning of the concepts.
Should this link say causes or influences, that kind of thing?
Exactly. They hash out the relationships.
Yeah.
And that process leads to a richer shared understanding. It's often called social knowledge construction.
Sounds way more engaging than just listening to a lecture together. And can teachers actually use these maps to, like, grade students or assess their learning?
Absolutely. They're surprisingly versatile assessment tools.
How do they work?
Well, they can be used formatively, sort of checking in during a lesson to see what students are getting and where the confusion might be.
Quick pulse check.
Right.
Yeah.
And also summatively at the end of a unit to evaluate the overall learning. Teachers can give different kinds of map tasks, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's totally open. Map everything you know about X. Other times it's more structured, maybe providing the key concepts and asking students to draw the links or providing the structure and asking for the concepts.
Different levels of scaffolding.
Exactly. And this gives teachers a really powerful visual insight into how their students are thinking. It makes misconceptions really stand out sometimes.
I can see that. And you mentioned curriculum design earlier, too.
Yes, concept maps can even help educators plan out their courses or individual lessons, making sure there's a logical flow, a good balance between, say, theory and practice, visualizing the whole unit.
Huh. Using the tool to build the teaching itself. Interesting. It sounds like they can be really helpful for students who maybe learn differently too.
Absolutely. That's a really important point. They can be particularly beneficial for students with dyslexia.
Oh, how so?
Well, dyslexia often involves challenges with linear text-based processing, right? Reading and writing. Concept maps offer a much more visual, spatial way to organize and express ideas. It bypasses some of those text-heavy demands.
Because it's about the connections and the structure, not long sentences.
Precisely.
Oh.
It allows them to build these visual networks of connected concepts, sometimes called semantic networks, you know, the web of meanings in our brains. It can really play to their strengths in visual thinking.
That's fantastic. Providing an alternative pathway for understanding and expression.
Yeah.
You mentioned some specific real-world examples earlier that sounded intriguing. Could you maybe share a few of those?
Sure. Let's see. There was a case study in system design. Learners were trying to understand how all the parts of a, well, seemingly simple device, a linear slider, actually work together.
Okay, like a component in a machine.
Right. By making a concept map showing the parts and how they related, how they influenced each other, the learners got a much more holistic grasp of the system.
Not just listing the parts, but seeing how they interact. Makes sense.
Yeah, it moved beyond just identification. Then there was that example from Panama in schools there.
Right, social sciences.
Yes. Teachers found that when students used concept maps to engage with the material, their answers, their responses, just showed a deeper level of thinking compared to when they used traditional questionnaires.
Even for fact-heavy subjects.
Apparently so. Which kind of surprised some people who thought maps were maybe just for science or visual topics.
Yeah.
It suggests the act of mapping itself encourages a different kind of processing.
Really challenges the idea that maps are only for certain subjects, doesn't it?
It really does. And we're seeing them used more and more in teacher training, too.
Training teachers.
Yeah. Helping teachers understand new educational standards, for instance, or using maps to plan out their own teaching units in a visually coherent way, documenting their lesson plans almost.
Okay. And nursing. You mentioned nursing education.
Yes, that's a big one. Helping nursing students develop clinical reasoning skills. They map out the complex relationships between a patient's symptoms, possible diagnoses, treatments, background factors.
Wow. Connecting all the dots for a patient's situation. That sounds critical.
It really is, and it extends beyond education, too. In research, especially qualitative research, analyzing interviews, texts, researchers are using concept maps to help identify key themes, spot patterns, and even develop potential theoretical ideas from large amounts of data. It helps visualize the emerging structure in the findings.
Like mapping the insights from the data.
Exactly. We also see students using them for more abstract ideas, like mapping the difference between qualitative change and quantitative change to really grasp the nuances.
It's incredibly adaptable. You even mentioned environmental monitoring systems in university planning.
Curiously.
It sounds niche, but yes.
Yeah.
For planning a national environmental monitoring system, maps were used to visualize the whole complex proposal.
To see how it all fits.
And spot gaps, yeah, or redundancies. The visual format helped different experts get on the same page.
Communication tool.
Definitely. And in the university context, they use a mix of mental maps, sort of freer form brainstorming maps, and structured concept
To
maps.
do what? To understand student needs better. Both physical needs, like spaces, and more abstract ones, like support services. Help them plan services that really addressed what students needed.
Okay, that's practical. And academic writing, too.
Yep. Helping students organize their thoughts before they write, improve the flow of their arguments, keep their focus. It's a planning tool there.
Wow. Okay, listening to all this, it sounds like concept mapping is just the answer,
Yeah.
the perfect tool. But surely there are, downsides, challenges.
You're right. It's definitely not a magic bullet. There are challenges. One thing is, some students, especially at first, can find creating them quite difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine. Where do we even start?
Exactly. They might feel they don't know enough yet, or they get frustrated if the connections aren't immediately obvious. Some might just give up easily.
So there's a bit of a learning curve, maybe some persistence needed.
For sure. And it highlights the need for good guidance from the teacher, which brings up another point. Teachers themselves often need training on how to use concept mapping effectively.
Right. How to introduce it, how to use the software, how to assess the maps.
All of that. And the design of the map itself matters too. A really cluttered, messy map can actually be more confusing than helpful.
Presentation counts.
It does. And maybe the most crucial point, just drawing the boxes and lines isn't enough. If the student isn't really thinking deeply about the meaning of those linking words, analyzing the relationships,
then the learning benefits might not happen.
Exactly. The real value comes from that cognitive effort, that active processing of the relationships, not just going through the motions.
That makes total sense. It's the thinking, not just the drawing. Now, you mentioned software a few times, CMAP tools and others. How has technology really changed concept mapping?
So, technology has definitely opened up a lot of new possibilities. These software platforms like CMAP tools, they just make the whole process easier. Creating maps, revising them, sharing them.
Less erasing.
Definitely less erasing. And a huge thing is hyperlinking. You can link a concept on your map directly to, say, a relevant website, a document, a video.
Oh, so the map becomes a portal.
Exactly. It adds layers of depth and interactivity. We're also seeing more computational tools emerging, tools that can help analyze maps, maybe even assist in generating parts of them.
AI-assisted map?
Potentially, yeah. Especially useful for collaboration or when you're dealing with huge amounts of information. The whole field of ed tech increasingly emphasizes these visualizing thinking tools for deeper learning.
So the digital tools make the maps more dynamic, more interconnected, potentially smarter.
Absolutely. It lets us move beyond just static diagrams. You can create these evolving knowledge models that grow and change as you learn more. There's even some really interesting work using something called semiotic analysis.
Semiotics, study of signs and symbols.
Right. Using that to really dig into the meaning being conveyed by the structure and the symbols used in concept maps. And when you have lots of maps, like a whole class's worth.
Yeah.
Principles from information visualization become really important, like Schneiderman's mantra. Overview first, zoom and filter, then details on demand helps you navigate that landscape.
Making sense of a whole forest of maps.
Exactly. And people are even exploring, though it's early days, integrating maps with other media. Like, could connecting concepts to specific pieces of music enhance learning somehow? Multisensory mapping.
Wow, that's pretty out there. Fascinating, though. This has been an incredibly insightful exploration, really. So, to kind of wrap things up, what are the main points you really want our listener to take away from this deep dive?
I think the key message really is that concept mapping is this remarkably versatile and genuinely powerful tool for learning, yes, but also for teaching, just organizing information.
And it works across different subjects, different ages.
Exactly. It's a technique that can really help you see the underlying structure of complex topics and, crucially, make those meaningful connections between ideas.
And for you, our listener, thinking about the practical benefits.
Well, it offers you a structured, visual way to make sense of potentially complex information. It can really help trigger those valuable aha moments, you know, when the connections suddenly become clear.
Light bulb turning on.
Yeah. It's a strategy that can genuinely help you become well-informed on something without feeling completely overwhelmed by just the sheer volume of facts. Because you're focusing on the relationships.
So it's about learning more effectively, maybe more efficiently, and definitely more deeply.
Precisely. So we'd really encourage you, you know, think about how you might try concept mapping. Maybe in your own learning, your studies, even in your job.
Playing a project, understanding a new field.
Exactly. Tackling a complex problem, just organizing your thoughts. It could be a really valuable addition to your toolkit.
Definitely food for thought. And finally, as always, we like to leave you with maybe a provocative question to ponder.
Go for it.
Given everything we've discussed today about the power of visually representing knowledge, how might the continued development and spread of these sophisticated mapping tools fundamentally change how we learn, how we collaborate, how we share information in the future?
Big question.
Yeah. What new insights, what new understandings might emerge when we start mapping, maybe even collectively mapping, our knowledge of really complex global challenges? Something to think about.
Definitely something to ponder.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.